Right. You just heard Creedence Clearwater Revival with Run Through the Jungle, Cadillac Sky, You Again. And this is the Byrds. Turn, turn, turn. Because I'm here with two lovely ladies, Mardell Gunn and
Good
Betsy
morning.
Van Berg. It was coming. I was just, you know, wait for it.
Good morning. Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. What a treat.
So this morning, let's start out with, I always forget to do this, but garden@khns.org is the email that please send your questions, your comments. Things you disagree with is fine. You know, when I listen to You Bet Your Garden, sometimes I'm going around the house going, that's just not true. I don't write to him, but you can write to us and let us know. So,
okay. Well, this week we have three questions, and the first one is, I have heard about fermenting foods and the jars of fermented veggies are very expensive. Can I make my own from my own garden and how?
Okay, so first off, I'll say that fermenting veggies is a very safe thing to do in the sense that it's hard to go wrong. But with anything, it makes sense to go get informed. And there are a couple books, and one of them I know is at the library, and the other one, I think they're both at the library right now. But anyway, they're written by the same person. His name is Sandor Katz, K-A-T-Z. The first one is Wild Fermentation, and the second one is The Art of Fermentation. And I tell you, I own The Art of Fermentation, and there is so much stuff in there that, I mean, you'll never grow weary of fermenting with having that. So fermenting has really been the basis of preserving food all over the world. And so Eastern Europe, we think of that's where sauerkraut and some of the more traditional ones come from. But the Asians do kimchi. And so there's just all sorts of stuff from all over the world that comes, and it's covered in this book. And so, yeah. And let me tell you how I, one other thing I'll say about it is that it's the lactic acid bacteria, which is the little microbe that does the fermentation. And that's what you want to create, environment that grows. And the other ones that you don't want to grow, like the yeasts and the molds and whatnot, you don't want that to grow. And so you're creating an environment, an acidic environment that bacteria can grow in. So that's kind of the gist of it. It's different than pickling. Pickling is using an already fermented product like vinegar, and then you cook or can, most of us can our pickles, and that's killing all the microbes. Mm-hmm. So this is the advantage of doing fermentation. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, I'll tell you how I do it, then I want to hear how Betsy does it. So the gist of it is you chop or grate your veggies, you salt them, and you pack them into a jar or crock so that they're forced below the liquid, and then you wait until they're fermented. So I take my cabbage and my carrots and whatever I want to put in my fermentation in a big, huge bowl, and I use a brine method. So I take 3 tablespoons of salt to 1 quart of water, and I pour that over, and I just mix that up. I leave it sit on the counter, and every hour or so I go through and I mush it up. And those vegetables will shrink down in size. And then I pack them in, I drain them of the brine. I pack them into a gallon jar, and I'll make sure that's covered with liquid. I'll pour some of the brine back in. I put a baggie that's partially filled with water to hold down the cabbage and the other veggies. And I leave it sit on my counter in a bowl because it will go over the top. Mm-hmm. It'll keep putting out liquid. Leave it in a bowl, sitting there for a couple days, and that's the beginning of the fermentation, and I leave it there for a few days, and then I put it in the refrigerator or my root cellar. So, and then I eat it. So mm-hmm. That's kind of how I do it. How do you do it, Betsy?
Well, pretty similar. I follow the Cooperative Extension pamphlet that I've gotten, and I use one reminder is non-iodized salt.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
And I do the dry salt method. And what I do is I shred the cabbage, and then I weigh the cabbage. And so I use a 1.5 teaspoon of salt for 1 pound of cabbage. Or you can go 3.5 tablespoons of salt for every 5 pounds of cabbage. So then I go ahead and shred it. And then I add the salt in layers and mix it in a bowl. And so it just needs to sit for, 10 or 15 minutes. And that's bringing out the juices. And then I take that and put it in a sterilized gallon jar and pack it down just like you do. And then I take, they tell you to take the brine with your salt brine and put it in that baggie, a Ziploc bag. And then I put that on top to weight it down. And you always want to make sure the kraut is covered, the cabbage is covered. Same thing, put it over on a plate or something because it will kind of boil over a little bit. And then I put it on my top of my wood stove shelf. Oh, so you do want it, okay. What, at 60 or 70 degrees, somewhere around there. Yeah. That helps it go a little faster. Mm-hmm. I know in the booklet it says you can also do it in quart jars. And if you do it in quart jars, it could go for like a week, whereas the gallon takes maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I also put it in the refrigerator and it lasts for months.
Yeah, yeah. I put it in a root cellar and I actually am eating it clear into March, April sometimes.
All right. So you don't can it?
No, it's not canned. Mm-hmm. Because if you can it, you're killing all of those microbes that you want your body to have.
So interesting.
It just sits there. And now, Betsy, do you get mold on top of yours ever?
No, I've never seen that.
And I do. And don't panic. What I do is actually, once I take it down to my root cellar, I'll oftentimes take one or two big cabbage leaves. You know, that cabbage leaves, the outer part that you never want to cut up. Right. And I'll take those and I'll put those on top of my gallon jar, like several layers. And so when I go to get it in March or February or March, the tops of those will be molded. Not the tops. Those will be molded. And so it's easy just to pull that off and then the good stuff is underneath that. So don't panic. If there's mold on top of it, don't eat the mold. It's not going to taste good, but it's not going to, you know, the stuff underneath it is fermented. It's not.
So you do that when you are storing it.
When I'm storing it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's interesting.
So another thing that I want to point out is that you can add all sorts of spices and things to this. So I do caraway. The one that I use most often is caraway, cumin, celery seed, ginger. I oftentimes put ginger in. Then I'm doing a sweet one where I'll put some beets because it makes it kind of pink colored, or red cabbage is really pretty in there. And I'll add dried cranberries or raisins. That's always nice. I've done cloves. I've done some cinnamon sticks. So be creative. Use the spices you like. I've done Indian spices, and that gives it a whole nother different flavor. Mm-hmm. So because we eat quite a bit of it, I like to have a variety of different tastes and whatnot. So
you break it up into quart jars and spice everything differently?
Yeah, I did that with the Indian one because I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. So I took some. Mm-hmm. I did a few different taste things because I will add my spices after my veggies have kind of sunk down in size. After they've sat in the brine, then I add my my spices at that point. So you could divide
before you pack them.
Before I pack it in. Yep, exactly. So I wanted to say a couple things. The salt is important because it allows the veggies to stay crisper. What it does is it breaks down or it stops the enzyme that makes veggies really soft and mushy. And so the salt enhances or makes that happen. And it also allows the salt tolerant bacteria, that lactic acid bacteria, will live in a salty environment, whereas a lot of other bacteria will not. So that's what helps with the fermenting process. Okay. So anything else we need to say? Let's talk about nutrition of this a little bit. I got this out of the Sandor Katz book in that the nutrition, it's kind of on a bell curve. The lactic acid is best after it's fermented a little while. It's not going to be so good right when it's brand new fresh, so let it ferment a little while. But then after it reaches a peak and after a little while, the nutrition goes away. But on the other hand, there's new bacteria that come in. So what he's suggesting, if you want to get a full scope of probiotic stuff, eat old ferments and new ferments. And my theory is drink beer with it too, because that's another ferment. Or yogurt. Yogurt is another fermentation. We eat fermented foods all the time without thinking about it. So, and I guess one other last thing I have on here. People have asked me what veggies will work. Basically, any veggie works. You said that you use mostly cabbage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I use cabbage with carrots and beets and mostly root veggies. A couple words of wisdom about this is I find that zucchini and cucumbers will soften really quick. So if you're going to eat it right away, go for it. Use those. But if you don't want a soft, mushy one, don't put those guys in. And also the greens, kale, collards, those kind of things, they they create a pretty strong taste and odor. So some people like that, some people don't. I don't particularly like that. So experiment with that if you're going to put those in. Those mm-hmm. are pretty strong. So, okay, enough on that. We have got a little bit of time left. So we've talked about record keeping a little bit on other shows. And so how do you keep records, Betsy, and what do you find the most important year to year?
Well, I think the most important is drawing a map. I have two notebooks, and one is I just take paper down to the garden every year, and I draw a map of the garden, and I draw out every bed, and then every bed I write down exactly where I've planted it, what variety I plant, and what time, how much. And then when I'm done planting, you know, I kind of watch it over the summer. And then when I harvest, I note when I'm harvesting it and how it did. And at the end of the year, I'll staple those papers together and I'll have them year after year so I can use for rotation. So that's important to me is rotation. You know, what went where and what do I want to have? Because sometimes I even want two-year rotation after the brassicas, right?
Which is the value of maps so that you can see year after year. Yeah, exactly. I find the same thing. I want to mention a couple things that other people who help us with this have said. I like the idea of one person get a write in the rain notebook because if you're like me, I always say, oh, I'm going to write this down when I get in the house and then I forget. Yeah. So if I had something that would handle the sprinklers and the rain, that would help. And another person said, and I like this idea, take photographs, especially those of us who have perennial beds. In the spring, you can't remember what's there or where it's at. So take a photograph, and then you can and print that out on some paper, and you have that in your notebook, and you can use that in the spring. So I like that idea.
Yeah,
so.
I do too.
Okay, we've got a few minutes left for our last question.
Okay, last question is, frost is starting to happen now. Can I move things into my greenhouse to protect them from freezing?
So, yes, is the answer. you can. And I will say that what I have just done recently is I've taken pots that were in my greenhouse and moved them into the house. That's how I do my peppers because I like my peppers to turn red. And so I have moved them in the house and now they are turning red beautifully. If they were out in the greenhouse where they've, in my hoop house where they've been all summer, they would be languishing right now. And so that's how I do that. And all of my flowers that I want to save are now in a protected place. So, and I want to hear from you, Betsy. You do some things with your greenhouse that, as far as fall planting and whatnot, how do you do that?
I bring in some kale and Swiss chard. I've actually dug them up in the garden and put them in the greenhouse.
You plant them in your bed of the greenhouse? Okay.
Yep, and they've actually done really well, and the kale has been great in the spring. It's been amazingly sweet. So that is one thing I do. I also start planting seeds of spinach and lettuce like in August, which is obviously is late now, but then I'll put them in. They're in the greenhouse now, so I'm getting a late fall crop of lettuce and spinach. And then they will overwinter even, and I will double...
The ones that you don't use will overwinter.
Will overwinter, and I cover them with Remay in the wintertime. I even cover the kale and Swiss chard sometimes, so that it's called double covering, and so you get your greenhouse and that, and so that even protects them in the wintertime. And then I also have jugs of water that I have in the greenhouse to kind of moderate the temperature a little bit more. So
the idea that being that the heat sink, that the sun hits that, warms up the water, is that the idea?
Exactly. Okay. And keeps it there. And I know other people have told me about that, especially up north, like in Haines Junction. And they said it keeps it from going from extreme temperatures.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And you water very little in the fall winter.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll say one other thing about stuff that you can leave out there. Do not panic if you have kale, collards, leeks, Brussels sprouts. Leave them out there. They're fine. You can harvest them through the snow. Many frosts. Those are ones that can stay out there. But others and root crops will be fine under the ground for quite a while. And so other stuff you should be getting out. When I left this morning, there was a frost on our ground. I don't know if it was...
There was a frost in town,
too.
Yeah.
So it's happening. So, and also one other thing is make sure you remember you can keep things for a few more weeks by just putting Remay or
a
cloth or plastic on top. And I've got some bok choy and lettuce that I want to eke out another few weeks. And so, but probably if you didn't do it last night, you may have lost it. I don't know.
I don't think it was that heavy.
It wasn't
frost.
That heavy. Yeah.
No, but it was. There was white.
Yeah. You know, okay. Well, so
white.
So get
but
your
no ice.
Cloths out there if you want to save your lettuce. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And people
thank
can
you.
And email their questions
at garden@khns.org.
All right. Thank you. What an exciting segment of this show. I love this. I love this garden.
Well,
talk.
I'm right. glad we like doing it. And it's fun. It's very interesting how many people say that they're not gardeners and they still listen, which I find interesting.
Well, because you guys are so entertaining. Oh. That's
it. We'll see you next week, Joni.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joni.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.